Welcome to Sharing the Victory, the weekly radio program from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the heart and soul in sports. Here's our lineup today, PGA golfer Chris Stroud.
God has given me special talents to be on this tour and show everybody else that golf is not just about golf, it's about playing golf for Him.
Jack Easterby, FCA Campus Director at the University of South Carolina.
Your life might be the only Bible somebody reads today, so what do they read? You know, being a Christian is more than just going to church. You know, you go to church, that's somewhere you are for an hour during the week.
And author and speaker Wes Neal.
It's these off-practice hours that we mentally picture Jesus that makes it easier to mentally be aware of His presence during competition itself.
Here's the host of Sharing the Victory, University of Nebraska assistant football coach Ron Brown.
I'm sure glad you could join me. We've got a great show today. Our first interview is with PGA golfer Chris Stroud. Chris has been on tour since 2004, and yet 2009 promises to be his best season yet. Sharing the Victory's Bill Bumpus caught up with Chris at a recent event with the FCA Golf Ministry. Here's Bill Bumpus' interview with Chris Stroud.
Chris, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here myself.
This has got to be a lot of fun to take a little bit of time from the tour and help out with a great organization like FCA.
You know, it's very special for me, very dear to my heart. FCA means a lot to me. As a kid growing up, I went to a few functions in the Houston area, Beaumont area, where I grew up in Texas, and saw how important FCA was in sports, and it's just means a lot to me to be an FCA member and be an FCA athlete for God.
Well, we were talking just a little while ago off mic about your relationship with the Lord. Tell us real quick about how that started for you.
It's a pretty great story. I grew up in the church. I have a grandfather who was a Baptist preacher for 40 years. I have an uncle that was also a Baptist minister he's still actually going in Conroe, Texas. So he's got a huge, huge church there. And my dad, we grew up in the church, came back one day, had a really, really great sermon, and came back. I was 6 years old, and everybody had three sisters, and my mom were all taking naps, and he sat me on the couch and opened the Bible and started talking about God with me and asked what I thought about it, and I started whelping up in tears, and he asked me if I wanted to ask Jesus to come into my heart, and I sure did, and it was the best thing ever happened to me.
Well, that's great, visiting with Chris Stroud. And so that was your experience coming to know the Lord. Was there ever a time where you realized that God and sports, and golf in particular, can mix together? There's a marriage there. And when did that happen?
No question. You know, golf has taught me so many great things about my life. And over again, especially at this level, you learn that God is everything. I mean, there's so much more to life than just golf. And to me, I think that God has given me special talents to be on this tour, and I've always thought deep down, I've always had a feeling that He gave me this gift so when I'm on tour one day that I can present myself as a Christian athlete and show everybody else that, you know, golf is not just about golf, it's about playing golf for Him.
Well, Chris, it sounds like you really understand the biblical principle of stewardship. It sounds like you're really stewarding sports for God.
Absolutely.
How does that look in your life, in your everyday life, as far as playing golf and giving it to the Lord and giving back to others?
You know, I think we all know, as Christians, we'll never be able to give back what He gave to us, but I think we're on this earth to serve Him. And every day, my wife and I, no matter how bad or good a day we had, especially in golf, it can beat you up pretty bad out here on tour, but every night we lay down in bed, we just know deep down that we're doing this for Him, and He's going to take care of us. We've said that many times this year. So we just rely on Him. We know that He's going to take care of us no matter what, and it's a very, very welcoming, very comforting feeling at night when we think about that.
Well, we're visiting with Chris Stroud, and Chris, I don't know how many people really understand the game of golf and PGA Tour and the fact that there's hundreds of guys out there, you know, trying to win, and only one person wins.
That's right.
Every week, and it's not easy. You just told us how difficult it is, and how important is it to have that peace, to know that no matter what happens on the golf course, there's that unconditional love with Christ in your life?
You know, I hope everybody that's a Christian out there has the same deep down feeling that I have every night when I lay, or every morning, let's say if it's going good or bad, I know deep down that God is there for me, and it's a very warming experience for me, and I hope that people out there understand how powerful God is in their lives too and what he can do for them. So it's humbling for me to know that, I mean, every time I even talk about God, I almost want to cry because I'm so happy and so thankful for what he's done for me. And I feel very blessed to be on the PGA Tour.
Well, Chris, I want to put you on the spot here real quick. Just hearing your passion and wanting people to know what you have, there are people listening right now that don't have that peace of God. They don't have that relationship with Christ. Could you walk them through what it means to have a relationship with Christ?
If anyone has ever, in any experience in their life, experienced an absolute high where they succeeded in doing something they've always wanted, or maybe the feeling of having a child, that warming, that just amazing feeling you have, or anything that you've done that's been great in your life, multiply that by 10, 20, 100 maybe, because there's something that words cannot explain what God can do for you. I'll do everything in my power and all my life to make people try to understand how much more important God is in this world than anything else. And I bleed with his blessing.
Well, Chris, we really appreciate that. Appreciate your heart and God's blessings on your life as you continue to play on the PGA Tour. And we'll be praying for you and cheering you on. Chris Stroud, thanks
awesome.
For being here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That was great, Bill. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes has four core values: integrity, serving, teamwork, and excellence. FCA has produced four books on each core value. Each book has insights from coaches like Tony Dungy and John Wooden, and athletes like Sean Alexander and Tim Tebow. You can order the books online at fca.org. But for the first 20 callers, we'll give you the first two books, Integrity and Serving, free. Here's the toll-free number, 866-788-5031. That's 788-5031. Again, the first 20 callers at 866-788-5031 get the first two books from FCA's Core Values series. You're listening to Sharing the Victory, the national radio program from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Chalk up another championship, three in a row. You know, the celebration is the best part about winning. I just wish it would last longer. Because when the noise ends, that's when the emptiness and loneliness is deafening. There's got to be something more to life than just winning games.
Need a new game plan for your life? Go to morethanwinning.org.
Not only is SharingTheVictoryRadio.com the place to listen to past programs and subscribe to receive the free podcast, SharingTheVictoryRadio.com is also the place that links you to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes to learn more about how God is using the largest sports ministry in the world. Also, you'll get access to the online version of Sharing the Victory magazine. Check us out today at SharingTheVictoryRadio.com. That's SharingTheVictoryRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Sharing the Victory. Ron Brown with you. FCA Across America features Jack Easterby. He's FCA Campus Director at the University of South Carolina. Jack is also the chaplain for the men's basketball team. And the team's having a solid year so far under first-year head coach Darren Horn. Yet it was a different story on the court last year when then-head coach Dave Odom announced his retirement during the middle of the year. I had a great talk with Jack Easterby about that situation and how the team handled the transition.
I mean, in a way, your coach is your identity. I mean, both in the media and public and other ways. But in other ways, your identity has to be in more than that. You know, and when Coach Odom did step aside and our players got a chance to really find their identity for themselves, you know, I found a bunch of young men who were hungry to be great. I wish I could tell you that they were lost souls without a purpose. They weren't. They were in the gym. They played each other every day. They were practicing against each other. And Coach Odom, with his character, I mean, if you can believe this, this is something that the whole United States ought to know. A guy who, after his point of resigning and retiring, came in up until the very last day he was paid at South Carolina to work and work out our players. I mean, it was just absolutely phenomenal. He past the point. I mean, they're doing a national coaching search, and ESPN's reporting numbers and names and this kind of stuff, and he is in here working our players out because they had that kind of a bond, and he loved the Lord that much. And I tell you, it was a special, special thing, man. It was just awesome. And so, you know, while I think that that was true with some of them from a futuristic standpoint, you know, where do we go from here? What style of basketball are we going to play next year? How do we handle ourselves? Nobody's pushing us. Nobody's running us. But, you know, we had a great transition, man. I mean, these kids came and they practiced and they went to class and they did the things they were supposed to do for the 2 weeks they didn't have a coach and 3 weeks. And
wow.
It was, I mean, it was awesome. We had a Bible study every night during those times. And, I mean, it was, I wish I could tell you it was some blank faces. But really, Coach Odom prepared them. He said, you know, guys, there'll be a new guy come in and lead you guys. If you need me, call me, but he'll be your leader. And, you know, it reminded me a lot of Moses to Joshua. You know, there's a transition. But, you know, when two great leaders are both the ones running, it doesn't matter about what their names are. It's them just representing the Lord. And we got great leadership on our team, Devin Downey, and some kids that are really seasoned people. And so I'm excited to see what happens. But as a chaplain, I felt like I got to knit it together as good as anybody could because I knew where they stood and their depth of their heart.
We're talking to Jack Easterby, the South Carolina FCA campus director and also their basketball chaplain. And we've been talking, Jack, about the new coaching situation there. You know, Coach Odom retiring from coaching, and all of a sudden a new coach enters on the scene. Kind of a difficult year, win-loss record with South Carolina. But really what we're talking about is, what is the definition of success? And, Jack, that's primarily a great role for you, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you say that as a chaplain? I mean, you've got to remind these kids of the truth and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where their value comes. How do you live that out?
Well, you know, you live it out by exactly what the Great Commission and other things have quested you to do as a Christian. You know, your job description isn't that much different than your life description. Your life might be the only Bible somebody reads today, so what do they read? You know, and I always tell our players all the time, you know, I went to Mexico on my honeymoon, but that doesn't make me Mexican. You know, being a Christian is more than just going to church. You know, you go to church, that's somewhere you are for an hour during the week. And I've shifted it off of practices and participatory elements of life because we can get so bogged down in those things, in the checklist and the to-dos and that kind of stuff. I've shifted it off of that into a lifestyle. It's to be the guy who's smiling that just is attractive to the kids who didn't have a dad growing up. It's a guy who wants to help them be parents if they already have kids. It's a guy who wants to say, hey, what are you doing for your next step in growth spiritually? Where do you stand? And we get that up front and early. As soon as they get here in the summer, I like to ask them, you know, what their background was spiritually and take their temperature, so to speak, and just see where they're going. But I'll tell you this, Ron, this is the best thing about my job, is that, you know, I don't have a pulpit. You know, it's a day-in, day-out thing. There's no time where I preach, and if they don't get converted, I'm a success, and if they do, I'm a failure. You know, I expect to get calls when these guys are 35 and their son graduates from high school. You know, I expect to get those calls, and I expect to get calls when a guy gets cut from the NBA. You know, that's what I look forward to. Those are my ministry pulpit times. If you got surgery, I'm coming. If you got a baby coming, I'm coming. If you got a mom that's sick, I'm coming. And that's where you hit them, man. You hit them all the time, because one of those times, God will have the soil just right and ready to drop a seed in there. But you got to be on the farmland as much as you can, because the soil may only be right at a certain time. And if you're at the beach, there may not be any seeds planted. So my thing has been constant contact, loving on them, just encouraging them, and being that constant source of fatherly and brotherly, in some cases, wisdom, and just trying to tell them, hey, man, Jesus loves you, and the response to that love is to love him back. And hopefully they'll see a little bit through how I live. And also we have Christian people, coaches, other people that influence them as well. It's far beyond me, and God knows that.
Well, we certainly appreciate your enthusiasm for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been visiting today with Jack Easterby, the South Carolina Fellowship of Christian Athletes campus director, and specifically the chaplain for their men's basketball team. Thanks, Jack. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, sir.
We've got lots more to come. Up next, Wes Neal, one of my favorite sports authors, will be talking to us about whom we perform for. Who is our audience? You're listening to Sharing the Victory, the national radio program from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
His goal?
To hit over 400.
Our goal?
To eliminate life's errors.
Swing and a miss, strike two.
While he grips the bat, we grip his heart. With a firm hold on Christ,
a long drive, it's going to be a home run.
He can eliminate the errors. Join the Fellowship of Christian Athletes as we strive to put the heart and soul in sports by impacting the world for Jesus Christ.
To learn more,
contact us at FCA.org.
That's FCA.org.
FCA Gear is your place for top-of-the-line clothing. With clothing from FCA Gear, you'll let everyone know you support FCA, the heart and soul in sports. Also available at FCA Gear, Bibles, devotionals, study guides, and much more, including books from Tony Dungy, Jim Tressel, and Les Steckel. At FCA Gear, you'll find that perfect gift for the sports person in your life. FCA Gear is available online at FCA.org. That's FCA.org. Check out our newest podcast called One-on-One at SharingTheVictoryRadio.com. Now back to Ron Brown.
My guest, a personal friend, and a man whom God has used to really impact me in the world of sports. His name is Wes Neal. He is a former great athlete, representative with the Athletes in Action Ministry a number of years ago, a world traveler. He's a biblical scholar. He's a writer. He's a speaker. Wes, God has used you to implant in the brains of many Christian athletes and coaches how to connect Jesus Christ with their athletic competition. And today we wanted to talk about the type of audience that we're playing for. Who should we be playing for? The Nebraska spring football game, we had 80,000 people there. That motivated a lot of our players. Is that their audience? Is it 80,000? Is it a televised event? What happens when you're in a practice situation and there's nobody in the stands? I mean, there's not much of an audience. Talk to us a little bit about what the Christian athlete and coach should be viewing as their audience.
You know, and this is a real tough one, too, because our natural focus is on the people that are around us that we want to impress. It could be a girlfriend, boyfriend, coach, parents, whatever. And so it's just naturally built into us to do that. So coming from the Bible, then, to learn what an audience, the audience that the Bible has, that God has for us, it's against our natural way of doing things. But this was brought home to me one time when I was in high school playing football, and my pastor said he was going to come out to watch me play. Well, I hated practice because I loved the games, but the practices were a little bit, they hurt. And so, but when Kenny came out to watch me at that practice, I was so excited and enthused that I wanted to perform well for him. And when I left there later on, years later actually, when I came across this biblical principle of audience out of Colossians 3:24, my mind went back to that high school practice and how I wanted to give everything to impress Kenny. Well, in Colossians 3:24, it tells us that Jesus is our audience, that we're to do our work heartily as unto the Lord rather than man. And I began to think through, if Jesus were physically, I know he's there spiritually, but if he were physically watching me practice, how much more greater effort would I give just because I wanted to do things his way and to be pleasing to him? And so you mentioned that we're not always in a stadium with 80,000 people. It's many times on the back roads training or in the isolation of a weight gym when no one else is around to really pull for us. But Jesus is always there. And as I mentally picture Jesus there, and I could be sitting at my desk or driving in the car or working out, whatever it might be, that energizes me to really give more for him.
We're talking to Wes Neal, author and biblical scholar and speaker regarding how to connect Jesus Christ with our athletic competition. Wes, one of the slogans that FCA adopted several years ago was called An Audience of One. And I think it meant what you're saying, that our only audience should be the Lord Jesus Christ, even though that we do have other audiences around. There are people around. There's a cloud of witnesses in heaven that are watching. But the focus on Jesus Christ, how do we train ourselves to do that? Because, Wes, really, again, we start talking about the natural versus the unnatural. It is very natural to go to an audience. I mean, what athlete do you know isn't going to be more motivated or feel like it's the stakes are higher when there's 80,000 people in the stands versus training in the back road somewhere when nobody's there?
Yeah, and this is a difficult thing, Ron, because I've had athletes come up to me before and say, you know, I just can't mentally picture Jesus as my audience during competition. And I've asked them, well, do you work out this way? Do you mentally picture Jesus as your audience as you work out? And the answer would inevitably come back, no, I don't do that. Well, the idea is we're not going to do something so drastic in the middle of competition if we're not practicing it. Mm-hmm. And so I see time outside of the sports practice sessions and competitions as the time we really mentally picture Jesus present. So I need to be aware of his presence as I'm driving down the street. I need to be aware of his presence as I'm talking with my wife. I need to be aware of his presence as I'm working on a book. It's these off-practice hours that we mentally picture Jesus that makes it easier to mentally be aware of his presence during competition itself.
You know, Wes, I think one of the things that we really have to be aware of is that there is an outcome to what we think of. The scriptures say in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks, so he is. Mm-hmm. So who we spend time thinking about and what we spend time thinking about is what we become at some point. It becomes habitual in our life. And the scriptures say, I think, two things regarding our audience. It says that, first of all, that we should have a holy offering before God. So a practice session with no one in the stands should be a holy offering to the Lord Jesus Christ because it pleases God. And when we're in love with Jesus, when you're in love with anyone, you want to please them. And so if we're truly in love with Christ, we want to give him that holy offering, even if it means nobody's watching, even if it means I'm tired and I'm worn down and I feel ragged and I feel useless and I might even be half injured and everything else. God wants a full, total release offering. It pleases him. But secondly, Wes, when we do intimately, passionately, relentlessly pursue Christ in mind as we do our competition, it releases all of our God-given ability, doesn't it? In other words,
oh, very much so.
It is the only thing that will draw the very best out of us in every practice session, in every drill, in every competition, which when you start to release like that, eventually your ability level maximizes. I mean, you're not going to maximize when you don't totally release yourself. So there's a benefit for that athlete as well, isn't there, when we are focusing as Jesus as our only audience?
We took, I was given a seminar in Nebraska several years ago, and two high school girls were there, and they picked up on this concept of Jesus as their only audience. Well, during the break of the seminar, they went out on a run, just a casual run. But during the run, they began to mentally be aware that Jesus was there with them. And they came back totally exhausted and totally fulfilled, saying it was the best workout they ever had because they were really in the presence of Jesus.
Hmm. Our guest today has been Wes Neal, outstanding author, biblical scholar, who reminds us once again to walk intimately with the Lord Jesus Christ through our competition. Wes, thanks for joining us on Sharing the Victory.
Ron, thanks for having me here.
We're going to bring Wes Neal back with us next week to talk about motivation. But coming up next, FCA President Les Steckel with Coach's Corner. That's right here on Sharing the Victory.
You have talent, you have ability. As an athlete or coach, you are expected to deliver results. But for a Christian competitor, it isn't just about winning. It's about reaching for a higher level.
So let the competition begin, and let the glory be God's.
Want your love for sports to represent your love for Christ? Become a part of Team FCA and sign the Competitor's Creed. Visit FCA.org. That's FCA.org.
Hi, I'm Ron Brown of Sharing the Victory. Whether it's scoring a touchdown, acing a serve, or making the goal, athletes understand what success means. Every week, we'll be hearing from people who've pursued excellence in athletics and in their faith. Men and women around the globe who are using their athletic talents for God's glory.
There's one reason that I'm standing up on this stage today. That's because of my Lord up above. I got to say thanks to Jesus. You knew I was going to do it, and I got to do it.
See you right here for Sharing the Victory. Welcome back to Sharing the Victory. I'm your host, Ron Brown. It's time now for Coach's Corner with FCA's President, Les Steckel.
In the past few months, our country has been faced with one of its most challenging times in many years. In fact, the whole world has experienced a severe challenge because of the global economic crisis. Perhaps you've heard your parents or grandparents talk about the Great Depression. I'm grateful I myself never had to live through that period, but heard it spoken about often from my parents and grandparents. However, while we're not going through anything like the 1930s, economic analysts and journalists have been using the words depression and severe recession to describe our current situation. Even the brightest economic minds are struggling to know what to prescribe to set the country back on course. A new administration and a new Congress will be wrestling with what to do about this financial crisis for some time. It's hard to predict when real answers will come, yet it is not hard to know where to find the answers. I don't know the answers myself, but I do know the one who does. Have you looked at a dollar bill recently? If so, you may notice a tiny phrase written on it that says, "In God we trust." It's ironic to me that while money is our problem right now, it also contains our solution. Our answer is really very simple. In God we must trust. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." What if we as Americans all did humble ourselves and plead with the Lord? You don't have to live in Washington, D.C. or be part of the political process or work for the government. We can change America if we as Christians cry out for God to heal our nation. Are you willing to join that kind of a prayer team? We all love being on teams and we all love winning. And right now, we need to take that kind of teamwork and move it into action to benefit our country. Nothing is greater than being on a powerful, nationwide prayer team that will pray to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to heal this, the greatest nation in the world. Would you please join me and others, and let's all watch the power of the Lord at work. Remember what it says on that dollar. In God we trust. That is our only answer. This is Les Stuckel with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. God bless you, and God bless America.
I sure love doing this show with you each week, talking about God and sports. Are you kidding me? And we got a great show next time. Trent Meacham, the guard for the University of Illinois basketball team, will be with us, along with Tony Bennett, the head basketball coach at Washington State. And, as I mentioned, Wes Neal will be back one more time talking about motivation. Remember, there are two ways of doing sports, God's way or man's way. And speaking of motivation, I hope you're motivated to doing sports God's way. From all of us here at Sharing the Victory, have a great week in Christ.
If you missed any part of today's program, you can listen anytime at sharingthevictoryradio.com. You can also listen to past programs and subscribe to receive the free podcasts. Also at our website, you can sign up to get the free Daily Impact devotional in your inbox, and you can find FCA resources from FCA Gear. Again, the website is sharingthevictoryradio.com. Have a great week, and make plans to join us at this same time next week for Sharing the Victory. Sharing the Victory is a production of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. FCA is the heart and soul in sports.